Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Well, this is an amazing day, an amazing weekend. Just so excited that you're here. I know we've got some first-time guests here, people I've not ever met before. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean, and I am the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. I've got my baggage falling already. We haven't even started the message yet here. But we're just so grateful. We're so thankful that you are here with us this morning. And one of the things we do every single week is we have a big group of people who listen to our messages online throughout the week, and so we always want them to know that they're loved and appreciated. So let's just give a big welcome to all of our online guests. We love you, and we are so thankful for you. Well, I want to welcome you to the fourth week of our baggage series. Everybody say baggage. Baggage. As we go through our journey of life, what happens is we have a tendency to start picking up baggage that was really not meant to be a part of our trip. And because we've been unsuccessful in dealing with our baggage in the past, we've learned how to just live with it. And so many people today, they are not enjoying their lives, not because of the destination that they're headed to, but because of the baggage that they are dragging around. And so in this series, I'm trying to help you, give you tools on how to live free. Everybody say, live free, and travel light. And so today I want to talk about the bag that won't go, let go. Turn to your neighbor and say, the bag that won't let go. Don't call them the bag that won't let go. I said, say the bag that won't let go, all right? All right, in your service guide, there's a sermon outline. I encourage you to pull that out, take it out, follow along with us, take some notes with us. And I know this is going to be helpful for you today. Most people, when they come into a relationship with Jesus, most people, when they say yes to him, when they repent of their sins, immediately they experience freedom in some areas. But there is typically another portion of our lives that is changed over time as God molds us and as God shapes us. And for most of us in this room, probably all of us in this room, if we're willing to be perfectly honest, there is still that one area, that one thing that we consistently struggle with. It's that one area that has become the piece of baggage, the bag that just won't let go. And no matter what you do, no matter what you try, you just can't seem to shake it. And so what happens is, as we saw in the sermon bumper video, we learn to live with life by coping it, and we just carry it everywhere that we go. And I want you to know this morning that that is not God's best for you. God wants to set us free. He wants to set you free from the bag that will not let go. He wants to set us free from that addiction, from that habit, from that substance, that lust. Whatever that thing may be for you that just keeps showing up. Somebody said amen. Now I understand that most of us have already gone to God and we've said, hey God, I'm done with this thing. I'm never going to go back to that ever again, only to, after a few days or a few weeks or maybe even a few months, to fall prey to it all over again. And so today, through God's word, I want to equip you with some tools that will help you get rid of this junk once and for all. Well, one of the most influential people in the New Testament was a man by the name of Paul. And Paul was a great apostle. He planted churches. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. God used the apostle Paul mightily, yet Paul, if you know anything about his history, he carried a tremendous amount of baggage. And so in Romans 7:15, this is what he said. I love this verse. He says, I don't really understand myself. I mean, don't you love just the honesty of this, where people of God are just so vulnerable and willing to just lay it on the table? He says, I don't understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Anybody here relate? Come on, let me see your hands. Come on, don't lie in church. All right, I think all of us can relate to that. Instead, he goes on to say, I do the things, I do what it is that I hate. And this verse really speaks to the heart of this message. It's about that one thing that I keep doing over and over and over again that I really don't want to do anymore. Now, some of you, as soon as I started this topic, you knew immediately what that thing is. Others of you here, you brushed it aside so long that you don't even recognize it anymore. So what I want to do is to create a foundation for this, is give you some characteristics that will help you recognize the bag that just won't let go. Here's the first one. It's the first blank in your outline. Number one, it's this. The thing, that thing, whatever it is, it becomes a part of your identity. It becomes a part of your identity. And so instead of you viewing it as a problem that needs to be addressed, you begin to say, you begin to communicate things like, well, that's just me. You know, my grandfather was angry. My father was an angry man. Therefore, I'm angry. It's just who I am. Or we'll say something like, or guys, you might be able to relate to this. I've always liked the ladies. I've always been a ladies' man, and they kind of like me, yeah. Any guys who say, yeah, that's me. Yeah, you may not want to raise your hand and be ridiculed here, right? I don't think I can stop that behavior. It's just who I am. And I want to caution you, because this type of thinking is dangerous, because these thoughts are really, they're really lies from the devil. The Bible tells us that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new, everybody say new, creature, that the old has gone away. And listen, you don't have to be that way. In fact, we just sang about it a moment ago, what Jesus endured at the cross of Calvary. He endured so that you and I could be completely set free. Is anybody glad about that this morning? But our enemy, he deceives us. He attempts to get us to buy into this notion, it's just who I am. And once we allow this thing to be a part of our identity, it starts this, what I like to refer to is this cycle of destruction. The next thing that occurs is number two, is you feel increasingly hopeless. You feel increasingly hopeless. You might be thinking, you know, Andrew, if you could only see the stacks of books and the piles of DVDs that I've bought and I've gone through to help me overcome my struggle, to help me overcome my issue, you think you're going to come up here and in one message solve all of my baggage. In other words, you've already begun to think, all right, I know what that one thing is for me. I'm already mentally checking out of this message here this morning. Listen, that's really the hopelessness that comes when we fought the same thing over and over and over and over again, and we failed. And so this hopeless feeling, it leads to the next stage of the cycle of destruction, which is number three, you become defensive. In other words, you actually defend your issues. You defend your problem. You'll say things like, hey, I don't really have a problem with that. Would you just stop nagging me? Listen, if someone's nagging you, that's probably a clue that you've got an issue. Right? Stop nagging me. It's not an issue. I can stop whenever I want to. And so we make excuses for our poor behavior, and we begin to defend why it's there. And this leads us to the next part of this terrible cycle, and that is number four, you become a slave to it. You literally become a slave to the baggage. In other words, this bag starts telling you how to live your life. You've got to carry it every place you go, at work, at home, at school, to the movies, whatever you do for recreation. If we were willing to be completely transparent, most of us could admit that there is one area in our life that just seems to boss us around. I'm its slave. I mean, I don't want to be broke all the time, but I just can't stop shopping, right? I'm in bondage to my debt. I don't want to be addicted to drugs or alcohol. I don't want to self-medicate with prescription drugs or food or sex or pornography or unhealthy relationships, but I just can't seem to stop. Listen, when you find yourself in that place, I want you to know we are in bondage, and that thing, this piece of baggage, it literally begins to control our thoughts and our future plans. And this leads us to the last part of this cycle, number five. You begin to lose your life. You begin to lose your life. You may be still breathing, but instead of living, you are merely existing. And it's so tragic. All the dreams, all of the hopes, all of the promises that God put inside of you, even the promises that we read for everyone in this book, we start saying, well, you know what? God didn't really mean that for me. Those are just for everybody else, but not for me. I'm too messed up. I've gone too far. I've made too many mistakes. And what happens is you start resigning yourself to the fact that you will never achieve those dreams that God placed in your heart. And before long, you don't even realize that you've completely lost the purpose and the meaning of your life. The book of Romans chapter 6 verse 12, it says, do not let sin control the way that you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. And listen, that's what I'm challenging you with today. Don't give in. Verse 13, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Everybody say new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of law. Instead, you live under the freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. The freedom of God's grace. And I want you to hear this morning. I want you to walk out of here and I want you to live in the freedom of the grace of God. And so how do I know? How do I know if I'm serving sin? How do I know if this piece of baggage has become my master? I want to give you some questions. They're not in your notes, but just something I want you to think about that'll help you identify whether you have a problem that is mastering you. Here they are. Do your family or friends say or infer that you have a problem? Do you continue the habit even though it's hurting yourself and or others around you? Do you rearrange or arrange your schedule around that thing? Can you go 1 week without it? Is that thing leading you to isolation, to withdraw? Are you trying to keep that thing a secret? These are the list of questions, and if you answered yes to two or more of those questions, it's likely that you are being mastered by something that you have simply learned to cope with. It's along for the ride, but it's not really helping you on your journey. Honestly, it's keeping you from God's best for your life. So I want to give you a little hope this morning. Scientists have discovered some consistencies while researching the lustful patterns in men's lives. They've discovered that men are more prone towards lust on certain days of the week. And they found that they are most likely to lust on days that start with the letter T. Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow, Tatterday, Tunday. Sorry, everybody was so serious, I just had to lighten the mood here for a second. Just feel like we needed to laugh, all right? There's no research. Well, you don't even have to do research. That's just true, all right? But in all seriousness, God's Word has some great solutions for us this morning to break free from the baggage that won't let go. 2 Corinthians 3:17, for the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Come on, say freedom again. Freedom. That word spirit is translated from the Greek word pneuma, which literally means the breath of God that has all of his power in it. And so when you experience the powerful breath of God, listen, it will transform your life. And that's why I want every one of you in this room to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want you to get your heavenly prayer language, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and we don't have to walk around carrying this baggage that we're continually pulling on. There are some things in your life that you do not have the strength to overcome on your own. And God, in his wisdom, he knew this. And so he knew that starting even with his disciples, the guys that he had spent 3.5 years with mentoring and leading, he knew all the way from them to every believer that would come down through the generations that in the future would follow him. He knew that we would all need power from above. And so this is what he told his disciples. He says, you go to Jerusalem and you wait there until I send you the promise, until I send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want you to understand. The God that we serve is not just the God of thousands and thousands of years ago that we read stories about. No, the God we serve, he is spirit. He's pneuma. He's wind. He's breath with all of this power in it that we now have access to. And wherever that spirit, wherever that breath, wherever that power is, when we're filled with it, that is where we can find freedom to overcome. And I want you to understand that the whole mission of Jesus wasn't to come to earth to point an accusing finger down at you and tell you how wrong you were and tell you how bad you were and to condemn you. No. He came to get the baggage that you're carrying. He came to once and for all pay the price to say, you know what, Andrew, you don't have to carry this anymore. I paid this so that you can be set free in order to change the world you live in. Amen. And so while Jesus came to set us free, while Jesus paid the price, there are some things that we must do to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And so I want to share with you 3 things that will help you experience freedom from this bag that just won't let go. Here's the first one. Number one, eliminate the excuses. Come on, tell your neighbor, eliminate the excuses. Come on, tell your second choice, eliminate the excuses. Come on. Anybody in this room like someone who constantly gives you excuses? You like those people? Wow. You don't like them, right? Yeah, I see. I kind of tricked you there, right? No, nobody likes someone who's always, well, I'm sorry. I just did. And it's just like one, especially when you, how many of you work with a person that always got an excuse for everything? You just like want to, yeah. Never shake a baby, right? Okay. And so if nobody likes that, then why do we do it? I get it. All of us have experiences that we could legitimately blame our struggle on. You know, my daddy was really mean. I really do hurt inside. You know, I lost someone that I loved. I was abused. Listen, I understand that those feelings are real, but blaming the mess in your life on someone else will never help you get rid of the baggage that you're carrying. And so I want to challenge you to get the courage to stand up and take the responsibility for this baggage that we're carrying and say, you know what, from today on, there will be no more excuses. Today it stops. Today I'm putting it down. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus, through a parable, through a story he was telling, was inviting people to come to this amazing changed life. But look at what they did. Verse 18 says, but they all began making excuses. One said, oh, I have just bought a field and I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Doesn't that sound like fun, right? Please excuse me. Another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Listen, if you really want to experience freedom, at some point you've got to say, you know what, enough is enough. It's over today. I'm eliminating the excuses. No longer am I going to put the power into someone else's hands. With God's help, I'm going to find and I am going to experience my freedom. And I want you to understand, it's not going to be easy. There will be days when you feel as if you can't do it. There'll be days when you're going to feel like throwing your hands up and throwing the towel in. And listen, I challenge you to write this scripture on a note card and post it where you can read it every day as a reminder. For I can do everything. Everybody say everything. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. As I taught in week 1 of this series, you can go back and listen to it. I unpack this in great detail, but every piece of baggage that we carry is a stronghold. And a stronghold is nothing more than a self-imposed prison based on something that is not even true. And so the truth is that through Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do all things. You can forgive. You can choose to live harmonious in your home. You can choose to set aside distraction and addiction. You can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can do all things. Come on, high five someone next to you and say, I can do all things through Christ. Come on, say it like you mean it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some of you are like, man, why did I come on Baptism Sunday? Andrew's fired up. We need to eliminate the excuses. Number two, we need to cut the ties. Cut the ties. In other words, it's not enough to simply walk into a service like this one and say, wow, God, that message was so good. You know, go to conference, they're like, so good, yeah. I'm free. And then walk out of here, go out these doors, and go right back to the same old junk. And the same old nasty environments. Listen, it's essential that we start assessing our lives and begin cutting the ties to the people and to the things that are influencing us in the wrong direction. 1 Corinthians 15 says, don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character. Think carefully about what is right. Watch this. And stop. Everybody say stop. Stop sinning. In other words, remove the things from your life that are causing you to stumble. So let me make it plain. Some of us today, like the first thing you need to do as you walk outside of this auditorium in this school, we need to break off a relationship that we're in that you know is no good for you. Others need to leave this church and put some internet filters on our phones, our tablets, and computers. Come on, somebody. I know no one likes this kind of preaching, but I'm trying to help you this morning. Some of you are having inappropriate conversations with people online, and you need to share all of your phone and social media passwords with your spouse. That's good preaching right there. I know no one's going to want to yell amen for that one, but it's still good. We need to put whatever is necessary in place to break the ties as well as protect us from our weaknesses. Listen, the Bible tells us that the devil, he is a roaring lion who is roaming around. He is looking for who he may devour. And I'm trying to let you know this morning, don't be ignorant of what he's trying to do. Come on, tangibly disconnect from all of the ties that are pulling you down. James chapter 4 tells us, so humble yourselves before God. And most of us in this room, we don't have a problem with that. We'll come into church and we'll even raise our hand at the end of the message and we'll feel conviction and we'll feel bad about what we've done. We don't struggle with that part. But this next phrase, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Some of you haven't found freedom because you're not willing to step up and resist the devil. Listen, I believe that God is speaking to hearts right now. Most of you already know exactly what area in your life you need to deal with this morning. And so if you're serious about finding freedom, you've got to make some changes. We've got to eliminate the excuses. We need to cut the ties. And even though some of us have tried these first two steps and we've failed, because we missed this last one. This last one is so important. And this is why it's important, because anytime that you take something out, it gets lonely. Your heart feels empty. And even though we know it's not right and harmful, because we've turned to that thing for comfort and escape for days and weeks and months and even years, we're quick to turn back to it. Even though it's unhealthy, it's what we're used to, and there's familiarity in it. And so that's why we've got to take this last step, number three, and that is we need to fill the void. We must fill the void by putting something else that is meaningful. In other words, we need to put the things of God in its place. And so if you miss the step, you can do the first two and not really be set free. Let me give you five things quickly that we should fill the void with. The first is this, letter A, is fill the void with God's word. Fill it with his word. Our goal should be to make God's Word a part of our life each and every day. And so that's why we encourage you to be a part of our Bible reading and daily journaling activity called SOAP. In fact, in your sermon service guides, you've got a SOAP guide for this month. I encourage you, we got a new month starting. Take this with you. We've got journals. We make it as easy. But what is SOAP? Let me just explain it simply. It's an acronym. S stands for Scripture. So you're going to read Romans chapter 1 on June 1st, and you're going to read through that. What is the one Scripture that stood out to you? You just write that Scripture out in the journal. Then O stands for observation. And this is kind of what you observe, what you think God is saying through this Scripture. So you can just kind of write that out, one or two sentences. And then you write an A. A is for application. And so how do I apply this to my life? Because see, many of us in this room, we've got plenty of knowledge, but we don't do very good on the application part, right? And so Lord, what are you speaking to me through this? And then finally, a prayer. And listen, I promise you, this takes less than probably 15 minutes most days to do this, and this will completely transform your life. It will transform your walk with God. The book of Hebrews tells us that this book, the things that we read in this book, that His Word, that it is living and that it is active, that it can reach into our lives and it can change things. I can't tell you how many times we set the SOAP schedule for the year all the way back in like November of the year prior, and I can't tell you how many days I open it up to the passage and there is something I need for that day found in it. That is the power of this book. Listen, I cannot be the only one who brings the Word of God to you. It's essential that you learn to hear God's voice. And listen, the way that He most often will speak to you and I is through this book. It's through His Word. Now, I just want to pause here for a second and listen, I want to challenge you. Don't be legalistic about this. Right, because so many of us, you know, we try to do something right, then we don't do it, and we make ourselves feel worse, then we're living in guilt and don't be legalistic. If you miss a day, don't feel guilty and try to catch up. Just pick up wherever you are. There's a new verse every single day. Just pick up at that place because God has a fresh word for us. Ephesians 5:26 tells us that when we read this book that we are washed by the cleansing of God's word. And so I desperately need to get God's word in my life because there are some things that I need to have cleansed. Anybody got some things in your life that you need to have cleansed? Amen. So we need to fill the void with God's word. Here's the letter B, and that is fill the void with prayer. Fill the void with prayer. Now, I want you to know that prayer is not some ritual. It's not some formal speech between you and God. No, it's simply an active conversation. I know this may surprise some of you, but your prayer shouldn't sound any different than the way that you talk to people. Man has turned it into something fancy, and there are people all over the world that are trying to talk to God like He's from King James era England, all right? You know, the these, the thous, and the listen, God's not from England. You don't need to do that. Oh, holy God, thou art amazing. And we get this big voice. If that works for you, fine. But listen, we can just talk like you and I would talk after church. Just relax and talk to Him, because here's what I love. God, He understands. And so when we come to Him with our porn addiction, when we come to Him with our binge eating, when we come to Him with our out-of-control spending, with our illicit relationships, our anger, and our other addictions, whatever they may be, He understands. Because Hebrews 4, speaking of Jesus, tells us that He understands our weaknesses, for He faced all of the same testings. Everybody say same testings. He faced the same testings we do, yet He did not sin. Watch this. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Most of us get this wrong. When we need it most, we run away from God because, well, He's mad at me. No, no, no. We need to run because we will find grace to help us in the seasons, in the times we need it most. He understands. And because He understands, we need to boldly approach the throne of grace because He's waiting to give us mercy. We fill the void by spending time in His Word, by talking to God. Here's the next one, letter C, and that is get an accountability partner. We all need an accountability partner. In fact, I want you to say, I need an accountability partner. Listen, don't let another day pass. Listen, I'm desperately trying to help you, so I'm going to be just as plain as I possibly can be. If you are the only person on this earth who knows your secret, you are in big trouble. Things will not end for you, because Proverbs 28:13 tells us, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. James 5:16, it's a hallmark verse for this church. It tells us, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I want you to notice it doesn't say confess to God. And yes, we do confess and we do repent to God, but we confess our faults to another mature. Everybody say mature. I want to make sure you get that. Mature believer, so that they can help us find and experience healing. We all need someone in our lives that we've given permission to look at us and call us out on our junk. How many of you got some junk and it would be nice to have someone spiritual to just say, hey, things just seem off here. I want to challenge you to come up to a higher level. We need someone that we can go to and say, you know what? Hey, man, Cosenzio, I appreciate you and I love you. Will you pray for me? Because I'm struggling in this area. Will you check in with me every now and then to see how I'm doing? There's great power in that. And half the battle you'll find when you make this step, and I've made this step a couple of times in my life, half the battle is just saying it. And the power that comes from God just by putting it out in the open, because what we expose to the light, God can deal with. What we keep hidden will grow deep roots and it will destroy us. And I want you to understand, that's why our life groups are an essential part of your spiritual journey and therefore part of our church culture here at the Lifeway. We don't do life groups just because we don't have anything else to do. Truth is, every one of us in this room, our schedules are crazy. But I'm telling you, life groups exist to give, to be a vehicle to help you find freedom. They exist to save your life. They exist to help you prosper. Amen. So in a couple of weeks, you're going to have an opportunity to be a part of a life group, to get into a group. Listen, don't do life alone. Let someone in. Give them permission to speak into your life. So how do we fill the void? We read his word. We pray. We get accountable with someone. Here's the fourth one. We get involved in something that makes an eternal difference. We get involved with something that makes an eternal difference. Here at the Lifeway, we refer to that as being part of our dream team. It's actually all the people that make what happens here every Sunday possible, from kids ministry to parking people, to greeters, to ushers, to musicians and singers and production crew. I mean, there's so many people that make what you see here happen. Listen, when you begin to do something in your life that has eternal value, it's just amazing how our own baggage begins to fade away. I love this verse, Romans 12:21. It tells us, don't let evil conquer you. So those of us that are walking around with that baggage, evil is conquering us. But watch this. We conquer evil how? By doing good. In other words, by doing something that will last. Some of us are so self-focused that it would do us a world of good to begin to serve other people. And so the way to get involved in our dream team is to go through our growth track. It's going to take you 4 weeks. We do it right after service, less than 3 hours of total time. And listen, I'm telling you that your life will never make sense. Listen, your life will never make sense until you find the place in the body of Christ that God has designed for you to fill. And I believe every person, no matter how young you are in your faith, no matter how long you've been walking with Jesus, there is a place in the body of Christ that God has brought you to the Lifeway Church to fill. Amen. And then the last way to fill the void, I already mentioned it a few minutes ago. Letter E is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a free gift from God, given to us so that we could have power, given to us so that we could sense his conviction. In other words, I'm kind of heading the wrong direction, and the Holy Spirit will prompt me and say, hey, Andrew, you need to get back into line. That'll provide comfort in times of duress. I love what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians 5, he says, don't be drunk with wine. What I want to do is I just want you to pause you right there. I want you to put any struggle in place of wine. Don't be full of lust. Don't be consumed by spending. Don't be consumed by keeping up with the Joneses. Don't be consumed by recreational drugs. Whatever it is, put your thing in there. And watch this. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled. In other words, put something else in its place. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is evidenced by speaking in other tongues. Some call it receiving your prayer language. You can receive it at any time. It is a free gift from God. You can receive it any time, any place. All you need to do is begin asking God for it, and He will fill you, and your life will be forever changed. In fact, this morning, as we go into our time of worship in just a few minutes, our prayer team up here will be happy to pray with you. If you want to receive this amazing gift, just come to the front and tell them, and they'll pray with you. And I believe God can fill you even right here, right now, this morning. As I close out this message, I recognize that there are those here who are not yet believers. You've not yet said yes to Jesus. And so listen, what I want you to understand is that if you attempt any of this stuff without a relationship with God, it probably isn't going to work out too well. And so my invitation is not for you to join this church, even though I'd love for you to make the Lifeway your church home. My real goal is to get you into a relationship with a powerful God who will change your life. And I want you to understand, you don't have the power enough to do this on your own. Some of you already recognize that, because you've tried over and over. If I could just kick this habit, if I could just stop the drugs, if I could just stop drinking, if I could just stop. But you've tried and you tried, and you realize you've just hit the wall over and over and over again. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Pastor, I really do want God, but I've been living for myself, but I've recognized that I'm so tired of the baggage, and I just want to be set free. If that's where you are this morning, all you have to do is to surrender the control of your life to Jesus. And I want you to know, it's such a great deal. We get to lay down all of our baggage. We get to lay down all of our misery. We get to lay down all of our weakness. We get to lay down all of our pain in exchange for His power in a brand new life. And so if you're ready to make that decision to repent and come to God, I want to pray for you. And so without hesitation, no one looking around, would you raise your hand and say, you know what, that's me. Would you pray for me, Pastor? Is there anybody here who would say that? Yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I see hands. Thank you in the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Go ahead and put your hands down. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for your power. And Lord God, we thank you for the price that you paid for us, the price that you paid so that we wouldn't have to be laden down with burdens and baggage from our past and all the different places. And so, Lord Jesus, for those that raise their hand, Lord God, right now, we together make the choice. Lord, we make the decision to follow you. We repent. Lord, we're sorry for every wrong thing we've said, every wrong thing that we've done. And Lord Jesus, instead of going our own direction, today we turn towards you. And Lord, from this day forward, we make the promise to follow and pursue you to the best of our ability, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, I pray where that ability ends, Lord God, that you would lead us and that you would fill us with your Spirit and that you would give us power to overcome. Lord Jesus, right now, I know that there are people in this room that have been carrying baggage that they have kept hidden for years and years and years and years, and they're afraid to expose it. They're afraid to bring it to light because someone might laugh at them, because someone might think less of them. Right now, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would let them know that that is a lie from the enemy. Lord God, and that somebody, Lord Jesus, that multiple people, those that are carrying these bags that they just can't let go of, Lord God, that they would have the courage and the strength to step forward, Lord Jesus, that they would stop making excuses, Lord God, that they would cut the ties today, and Lord Jesus, that they would fill the void, that they would get into your word, that they would spend time with you, Lord, that they would find someone that they can be accountable with, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I believe right now, God, that you want to set somebody free. And so right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Some of you right now, you see that thing and it's almost as if you're holding it in your hand. And what I want you to do, I just want you, if you've got that thing that you're sick and tired of and you don't want to walk out of here carrying it anymore, what I want you to do is I want you to open your hand. I just want you to release that to Jesus Christ right now. And then I want you to lift your hands to heaven. Lord Jesus, you see all these hands. Oh God, freedom in this place. Lord, past wounds, Lord, let them be broken. Lord, anger, let it be broken. Addictions, Lord God, let them be broken, Lord Jesus. Lord God, for we want to walk with you. We want to walk in authority. We want to walk with power. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, we turn those things over to you. Lord God, we're asking that you fill us, that you cleanse us, that you wash us, purify us, make us white as snow. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.